Amen, amen, and amen. Is that loud enough for you? Amen. If you would, just bow your heads for a quick minute. Lord, we thank you for once again for this day. It's a time of fellowship with your people, Lord. Thank you for the love that's in this place. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this family of believers, Lord. Lord, as we journey together, Lord, to do your will, we thank you. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying world, Lord. Gosh, we need your word more than ever. We need to stand on your word. We need to walk with your word. We need you to speak to us through your word. Seems the world gets more and more bizarre each week. God, we're holding on. The only thing we have to hold on to is your word. So we thank you and we ask that you would bless it this morning. Teach us, lead us, guide us. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Speak to our life, speak to our lifestyle, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. As we'll finish up, or we'll continue our message on new and old, putting on the new, taking off the old. We started at the beginning of the year, and here we are in July, July 17th, as a matter of fact. And still challenging you all to read the Proverbs daily. Amen. We are allowing the Proverbs to replace the horoscope and the fortune cookies. It's amazing how people get more excited about a lottery ticket than they would the Word of God. And now people are out chasing Pokemon as opposed to chasing God. Amen. The team and I, the worship team, we were talking about it, and it's just, I was listening to the news this morning. It's like people are spending like, she said, spend 8 hours looking for Pokemon. Hey, I mean, hey, that's what... Anything to get you distracted from God and from the truth. People will do anything but try and get close to God. Amen. All right. Appreciate y'all bearing with us. We try and get the sound right. So as we get into the book of Colossians, chapters 3 and 4 talk about the practicality of how to live. Chapters 1 and 2 talks about Christ being preeminent, that Christ has to be number one in your life. Christ has to be number one, and it tells why. And chapters 3 and 4, it tells you how. It tells us, you and I, how to live. Paul says that we have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. We have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. It does not just happen. It will never just happen. I don't think anything ever just happens, except for foolishness. But if you're trying to do anything constructive and productive, you have to be a part of it. Whether that's getting closer to God, whether that's working out, whether that's trying to get your education, you have to go to school. You have to open a book. You have to get online. You have to actively participate in anything that's worth being a part of. And Paul says it's no different. He says that we can redirect our energies and our feelings to focus in on Christ. That we can be born again, that we can actually live this thing. Regardless of what you've been through and what you've had to deal with, you can be born again and you have a new opportunity in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. And then you have to actively participate once you are saved. So if you would, look at Colossians 3 and verse 12. For those of you who haven't been here and you're just visiting, we've already went through verses 1 through 11. So we're picking up the conversation at 12. And they are on the website. So if you want to catch up and listen to any of the previous ones, you can go to the website, which is in your bulletin, and you can catch up. I would recommend that you do that. If you miss a Sunday because you're not here, you're out of town or something, you can still catch up on the website. We're actually up to date, minus maybe one Sunday. Amen. But Paul says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, verse 13, forbearing one another. You know, something, boy, he had me, I was cool until he said, we got to deal with one another. Can't I just leave? He said, no, you got to deal with one another. And not only that, and forgiving one another. We go home right now. He said, you got to deal with people, and then once you get finished dealing with them, you have to forgive them. Oh, man. You got to deal with your wife, and then after you get finished dealing with her, you got to forgive her. Ladies, you got to deal with your husband, and after you get finished dealing with him, Dr. Gina, you got to forgive him. Now, I know that's hard. I know. How many of you have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? Exactly. I get you every time. I know. You got to deal with your kids, and then afterwards, you know what? You got to forgive your kids. He said, that's when you put on a new man. And kids, you got to deal with your parents. And after you deal with them, you got to forgive them. Yeah, I know, Brother Justin. I'm looking at you. All right. You got to deal with them. And after you finish dealing with them, you got to forgive them, which means it never happened. You got to keep on moving. How unfortunate it is that we have parents that don't speak to kids, kids that don't speak to parents, brother and sister don't speak to each other. And, you know, life is too short for that kind of stuff. He says you have to put on. You have to put on the new man. Notice he didn't say you have to put on the old man. The old man comes ready. Batteries included. The old man is just there. He talked. Look up at. Look what the old man brings with him. Look at 3 and 5. Old man comes with, says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Look what the old man comes with, batteries included. You don't even have to look for the batteries. You just, bam, old man is there. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then go down to verse 8. But now you also put off. You don't have to put it on because it's already on you. You got to take it off. All of these. Hope you got all of these underlined. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, not somebody else's mouth, but your mouth. Verse 9, stop lying to one another, seeing that you put off the old man with the deeds. All right. You don't have to put him on. He's already there. All right. So let's go to verse 12. Let's get a little bit nicer. All right. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. This is what you got to put on. It takes effort. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. It means that in your mind, you're not better than anybody else. See, the problem comes when I think I'm all that, and then I'm dealing with you, and you're beneath me, and I treat you like that. He said, you got to put on humbleness. Take that stuff off and put on humbleness of mind. You and I were not all that. Call it what it is. It's the grace of God. What can we really take credit for? All we can take credit for is the grace of God. And thank you, Lord. Then he says, meekness, long suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, So also you do. Underline that. I remember we had gone out to a restaurant one time, and to put on, it means like you, to put on is like a jacket. And so we were, it was a long time ago, and Trace and I, we went out with a couple of our friends, the Gastons, Trent and Andy. And Trent said, man, we're going to a fancy restaurant in Beverly Hills. You want to bring at least $100. I'm like, man, what are you? I mean, this is when we first married. I mean, before the kids even. That's a lot of money. That's now, $100. That's a lot of money. So we go to this fancy restaurant trying to be big time. You know, we're from the ghetto. So I go to sit down. I see Tracy, and then the maitre d', he's there. And I try and take off my jacket. And this dude's behind me, so I take it off, and he puts it back on. So for 30 seconds, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And the restaurant is so fancy that you can't take your jacket off. I didn't know that. Hey, I took wrestling. I was a wrestler in junior high school. I was ready to really throw one on this dude, you know? He wouldn't let me take my jacket off. Of course, Trace, you remember that. We still laugh about that. But that's what God said. You got to put that thing on. And you can't take it off. You take off the old man and put on the new. That jacket. And that's the struggle. Because the old man is saying, take it off. The new is saying, no, I got to leave it on. Take it off. No, I got to get angry. No, he said, leave it on. I got to do something. I got to leave it. No, and that's the battle that we go through every day. Look at verse 12. But that's why Paul starts off by letting you know who you are. Underline, you're the elect. Elect means that we're chosen. We're God's favorite. We're selected. We're the ecclesia. We're the called out ones. That's why Paul, before he gets into it, he has to remind you of who you are. You are, those of you taking notes, write this down. Be who you are. That's what Paul is saying. Be who you are. It's not hard when you're being who you are. You are the elect of God. Some might say that's arrogant. No, it's not. That's the grace of God. We already established that. If we didn't even choose God, the word says that God chose us. So we can't even take credit for that. But since I am the elect, I have to be who I am. And so I can live this thing because I'm the elect. And then he said, be holy. That word holy means sanctified, which means a saint. So you're a saint, and it's more than a football team in New Orleans. Holy means sanctified, means you're a saint. You're not an angel, but we're saints because we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't even take credit for that. It's the grace of God. And then you're beloved. Loved dearly. Well-pleasing to God. So underline, that's who you are. So Paul said, put therefore on as you're the elect of God. Put it on. You can do it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. Put it on. And then be the saint that you are, and then know how much God loves you. He loves you more than the sand. It says in Psalm 139. He said, if you could count the grain of sands, that's God's thoughts toward you and I. And I used to think it was just the sand on the sea, but there's also sand in the desert. That's a lot of sand. That's a lot of thoughts. That's a lot of love. It's how God feels about us. And then he breaks it down. God has filled us with his spirit so we can live this thing. Bowels of mercy, kindness. Bowels is the kindness, the compassion. It even says pity and sympathy. So when you see the people on your job, you see the people around you, you might understand who the God is in you, but you don't look down on them. You have compassion on them. You have kindness. No one's ever come to Christ by being beat over the head with God. The word says that God loved us to himself. He said, put on the bowels of mercy. Then you have the kindness. Kindness is moral excellence. Wow. You just started with being nice to people, but he said kindness is moral excellence. It also means integrity and being gentle. So as I'm having compassion on these folks, I'm living a life that's morally excellent. I have integrity and I'm gentle. Boy, it gets deeper, right? Then the humbleness of mind, we talked about that, where your mind is, right? Amen, ladies? What do you study in battlefield of the mind?
Yes.
There you go. Because if your mind is wrong, everything else is wrong. And then it gets to the meekness. Again, meekness is being gentle. Says that again. Be gentle with folks. Some of us, we're so used to cutting folks up with the words that we say because we're quick-witted. We're clever with words. We would cut them up and down. I remember when I was assistant principal at the middle school, and the other assistant principal came to me and she said, "You know that parent? I don't think it was any of you in here, but it was a parent that came in." She said she cussed me up one side and down the other. That was the first time I'd ever heard that. It's not being kind. That's not being gentle. Then we get to the long suffering. Underline this one. Patience, endurance. So in the midst of your patience, you have to endure. And it says persevere and fortitude. So you have to be strong. Long suffering means you have to be strong. Wives, say amen, because you're dealing with us. Wives, you better say amen. Husbands, you better say amen as you're dealing with your wife. You got to be patient. You got to endure. You got to persevere, and you got to be strong. Parents, when you're dealing with your kids, somebody say amen. See, it's just not words on a page, but it's what we have to live as we put on the new man. The word long suffering means that I'm patient, that I can endure. I'm going to outlast this thing. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to be fortified, which means I'm going to be strong as I go through. I'm not going to fall apart. Then it says forbearing one another. Bearing with each other. And forgiving one another. Forgive. That means to pardon. This forgive right here, this word forgive, it means to pardon. It means to rescue. It means to grant favor. So you got to pardon. Your kid's wrong, you got to pardon them. Give them a pardon. That means they're set free. Then they get in trouble. When you forgive them, you still got to rescue them. Where's Ivy? Ivy's not even here today. I don't know what's going on with my mic. Something happens with your siblings, with your mom. You've forgiven them. And you got to rescue them. With your spouse, you got to rescue your spouse. Kids, some of us that are getting older, we got to rescue our parents. This comes full circle sometimes. These words, man, it's powerful, but that's what we do when we put on a new man. Old man says, I'm done with this. I've reached my limit. I can't take it no more. I'm done. That's what the old man says. Direct opposite of what God says. So you have to always be mindful of who's leading your life. Is it the old or is it the new? We have to check ourselves. If the old is taken over, then I got to put the new on and leave it on. You have to actively participate. You have to put the new on. I can't put it on for you. God won't even force you to put it on. You have to put it on. And why? For no other reason. Let me say, if any man have a quarrel against any, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel, verse 13, against any, that man is generic for mankind, meaning men and women. If you have a quarrel with somebody, even as Christ has forgave you, you also do. You don't go tell everybody else about it, knowing it's a half slanted story anyway, because it's just your side of the story. You forgive and it stays between you and them. But then he gets deeper. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond, which is the bundle, which is the glue of perfectness. That perfectness means completion. So love is what completes you and I. It's the glue that holds a marriage together. This type of love. Say, where's that at, Pastor? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. We've gone over it before, but keep your finger and we'll come back to Colossians. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. So a lot of talk about love, but love is an action, and love can be seen. It's the way that love handles itself. This is the love that keeps marriages together. This is the type of love that keeps families together. This is the type of love that we need that shows me how to treat you. But then it also shows you how to treat me when I mistreat you. Let me say that again. This love shows me how to treat you. But then it shows you how to treat me when I mistreat you. It's the type of love. Yeah. So when someone mistreats me, this love shows me how to treat them. And I'm challenging you all to read this scripture, this section of scriptures, verses 4 through 7. Let's take it there. Maybe even 8. Read them daily, just so you keep your mind focused on what love is. For our youngsters, this is the type of love that that you look for when you're looking for a spouse or a boyfriend, and it takes time. Or a girlfriend, young men. This is not the love that after 2 weeks you come home and you tell your parents, "I found this guy at school and I love him." We kissed behind a gym building and electricity went all through my body. I love him. This type of love takes more than 2 weeks. Okay. Young ladies, don't come home, come in the pastor next purpose and purity, say, "I'm in love with a guy," after 2 weeks. I don't want to hear that. Okay. I'm going to talk directly to my. Yeah. Okay. This is the type of love that takes a long time. It takes a long time to observe this. Those of us that are not so young. It says love suffers long and is kind. It's not envious. I'm at verse 4. It's not puffed up. It's not jealous, and it's not arrogant. It doesn't brag on itself. How does love look? Paul said, above all, after you do the kindness, the forgiving, then you put on love. He says it all comes back to love. It's the glue that'll keep a marriage together, a family together. I feel so bad when I hear, matter of fact, we'd ran into one of our students at KFC, and she, you know, we're just talking. She's probably 31, 32. And so, and I grew up with her mom. So I said, "Hey, you know," she said, "I go to church. I go to such and such church." She said, "But, you know, Mr. Carter, I'm going to come visit your church." I said, "Why don't you bring your mom?" She said, "Oh, right now, me and my mom, we're not speaking." I said, "Oh, come on." She said, "I'm going to bring my grandma." Her grandma helped raise me, too. So, I mean, this is like real family. And I just happened to have her when I was assistant principal. I look up and she's there and her mom's. I'm like, whoa, this is like family, right? Now she's a grown lady and she loves the Lord. But she said, this was a couple of weeks ago. She said, "Right now, my mom and I were not speaking." I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, because, you know, regardless of what happens, this type of love says I have to humble myself for the sake of the relationship." Amen. To be a reflection of, if nothing else, of what Jesus Christ did for me. And I'm just thankful myself that with my dad my two brothers and my sister who's transitioned, who's passed away, that we've never had, like, well, I didn't speak to her for a year. My dad, we went 10 years without speaking. I'm just so thankful there was never any of that foolishness. Amen. Family, you all know life is too short. And this is a love that keeps it together when I humble myself for the sake of the relationship. Remember talking to my oldest daughter about marriage, and sometimes things don't work out, only if you don't want them to work out. I could think of three reasons to leave a marriage. Like the first kid, the second kid, and the third kid. I'm out of here, okay? I mean, I can think of a reason every week to say, you know what, I'm out of here. That's not godly love. Oh, the married folks don't want to talk to me today. I can come up with some, all right? Even if it's just in the mind. That's why you got to have humbleness of mind, because your mind will say, you all that, and it's time for you to go. And God will say, are you crazy? You really think you're doing something? Oh, God, I'm sorry. But this is a type of love. How do you do it? The grace of God in practicing these things. Let me go ahead. I'm talking too much, all right? Charity suffers long and is kind. It's not envious. It doesn't brag on itself. It's not arrogant. It does not behave unseemingly. It's not after its own. It's not easily provoked. You can't get love upset. It doesn't even think about doing evil. It doesn't rejoice in sin or when things go wrong. But it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Let's go back to Colossians. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love. That's the type of love. So I'm challenging us each day from Sunday to Sunday. Go over that love and just evaluate and examine your heart. Not anybody else's. But that's between you and God. Is that the type of love I'm operating in? Even in business and in school and wherever I am. We have a slanted, the world has a slanted view of love, which means I do what I want to do. That's the furthest thing from God's definition of love. It's not after its own. All right, verse 14. It says, above all these things, put on charity. We know what love is, right? Which is the glue, which is the bond of completeness. Love makes us complete. And then we get to verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Remember, that's an attitude. The peace of God even goes with Philippians 4:6-7. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So right here it says, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God rule, which means control. It means guide. It means to navigate. It talks about an umpire. It uses an illustration of an umpire. That the peace of God tells you what's out and what's safe and what's inbounds and what's out of bounds. So when you're thinking about doing something, the peace of God says, that's kind of outside the lines. And in addition to umpiring, it's the guard where you want to fall apart because something happens, and the peace meaning the calm delight. So regardless of what's going on, you want to fall apart, and the peace says, you trip and calm down. It's not that serious. But the kids and the wife and the, calm down. The peace of God says, let me rule your heart. You need to calm down. You need to calm way down. Matter of fact, you actually tripping. That's what the peace of God says. When you, that's why it says, okay, you got the love and now you got the peace of God. The love of God and the peace of God is controlling you. You can do this thing. Everything that the world is looking for, love and peace, is found in Jesus Christ. But we look for it everywhere else, and we will not humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he will lift us up at the right time. Everything that the world is looking for, everything that the world needs today, God has already given it to us. But we don't let it rule our hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. So now we are one body. What does that mean? That means that Christ is the head, we're the body. It means I need you. It means that you need me. That's not arrogant, that's just the word. I can't reach my full potential in Christ without you, and you can't reach your full potential in Christ without me, because we're a body. All right, Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, all right, let me make it plain. Turn to, let's go back to Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. It also talked about spiritual gifts. We'll get to gifts another time, but you all know that God has gifted you in some form or fashion. Amen. For his glory. Amen? Amen. So you bring a certain gift to this house that I don't have. I bring a certain gift that you have, and we all come together as one body to complete God's will for South Bay Abundant Life Church. I can't do it without you. You can't do it without me. And that's when it gets scary, when somebody breaks away from the body. When a church breaks away and says, no, we're going to be our own church, our own. We don't even get into the word. That's where danger comes. That's where the cults come in. So we all need each other, because this word brings us together, the love of God. And those of us that are not so, remember, and I think I shared this story before, the Jim Jones story. One of my best friends in high school, his mom used to go to that church. And she said that she didn't leave this time, but she said she was in church where he threw the Bible off the podium and said, we don't need this anymore. See, that's dangerous. See, when you break away from the body, that's how cults get started. And you come up with your own doctrine. She didn't leave then. I would have left then, but she didn't. She said she came back the next Sunday and she had her Bible, and there was a baby that was crying in the church, and they told her, the Bible is making that baby cry and making that baby nervous. You need to get out of here with that Bible. And she said, you know what? I think I will. And never went back. And those of us that are somewhat older, we know what happened with, was it Jamestown, Guyana, and the Jim Jones cult. But see, that's what happens when you break away from the body. And to think, she said people cheered when he threw the Bible down in church. I had rededicated my life in college, so I was home from college. Joey was home from the Army, so I went by his house. And being in high school, I wasn't really a Christian, and I got saved when I was 17. But so I wasn't really in that mindset when I was in high school. But coming back, rededicating my life, was at Maranatha, Dr. Hughes. I think we all were there. And just to sit and talk with his mom, it made a lot of sense. Now I understood spiritual things. And she was saying, you know, I was at a church. What? You did what? And she sat down and we talked about things of God, and she broke it down how she was in a church and they threw down the Bible and said, we don't need it anymore. And the people cheered. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. What is it saying? You have a body, you have fingers, you have toes, we have ears and eyes and all that kind of stuff. They're not separate. They're part of the body. So we're all part of the body of Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ into our heart as our personal Lord and Savior, we become a part of his body, a living, breathing, moving organism that wants to build the kingdom of God and make disciples. Verse 13, here we go. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we are bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we're all part. When we accept Christ, we're all part of it. That doesn't say when you're baptized, you become part of the body, or when you drink, when you take the communion, you're part of the body. You're part of the body when you accept Christ into your heart. Those things are just evidence of a changed life. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That is ridiculous. Your foot cannot say, I'm not of the body because I'm not the hand. And think about it. Which one would you want to give up? Your hand or your foot?
Either one.
There you thank you, because it's part of your body. Thank you. So which one of you would I want to give up?
Neither one.
Neither one. Thank you. I need you all. We all need each other. Believe it or not, when I look out and I don't see you here, that's part of my body. I'm going, I miss you all. I hope you miss me when you don't see me here. Amen. Jerry, which one you want to do without, your hand or your foot? Which one you want to do without?
Neither one.
Neither one. Which one of y'all I want to do without? Neither one. I need you all. We need each other. We won't get through this journey together. All right. The leg can't say, I'm going to walk away and do my own thing, because legs don't even walk. The foot is the one that walks. Leg can't go. No, you can't go nowhere without us. And then it gets into the senses. It talks about if the whole body was an eye, not to mention how weird you would look if you just walked around as one big eye or one ear. But which one of your senses would you want to give up? Which one? The smell. If I had to, I guess it'd be the smell. Y'all could pass gas all day, I wouldn't care. I'd give up the smell. I just couldn't smell that good old barbecue or that good old sweet potato pie. I mean, that'd be tough, but I don't want to give up touch or taste. I want to at least taste it. I want to at least see it. I want to at least hear that grease popping when that chicken is frying. Amen. Which one you want to give up? Family, we can't do this thing alone. You can't. You say, well, I'm going to just stay home today because, trust me, somebody needed you that day. Somebody needed that smile, that hug, that hello, because we're all the same body. You cannot say, I can do this on my own. It makes a big difference. This is the word. This is not me. I'm telling you all. Just try and walk this thing by yourself. Let me go on and finish this up. Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Oh, the ear going to say. I mean, why is the ear hating on the eye anyway? So, and see, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? You couldn't hear. If everybody in here was a preacher, who would listen? We all, everything is nothing too small, insignificant that you bring to the table. If the whole were hearing, were the smelling, verse 17. But now, underline this, but now hath God set the members. Who set them? So you ask God. As a believer, you never have to ask God, what is your purpose? Your purpose is to make disciples and build the kingdom of God. Everybody in here has a purpose. You should never have to ask that question again. Now, our methods are different. Your gift is different. So God, show me my gift. God, what is my method? But you all have a purpose. We all have a purpose. And it's nothing that's insignificant, and no one that's insignificant that's in here. Why? Because look at verse 18. Because now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. So God set you right where he wants you to be. And you have a purpose there. Well, I don't really do much. I just stop. God knew what he was doing when he set you right where you are. And you can't say, well, I don't make a difference. You do. Just because you're not the eye, but you're the hand, you pick up what the eye is looking at. What if I didn't have a hand? He just look. Sure wish I could pick that up. The hand, don't look at me. I'm doing my own thing. Come on, family. Let me finish this. Let me wrap it up. Let me say 18 again. Highlight, put a star by this, whatever you do, but now hath God set the members. That's why nobody can hate on you. That's not why nobody can tell you, well, you don't do it. They're ignorant because they don't understand that God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if the body were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. So it's not many members, it's one body. Many members, but we're all the one same body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Wouldn't that be something, the head? What, the head is going to start rolling up and down the aisle looking at everybody? That's what you look like. You a head. When you stay break away from the body, you the head rolling around. Let me finish with verse 22. No, much more those members. Listen, no, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Even the ones that just seem like the weakest ones. That's what it's saying. The parts of the body that seem like they don't even matter. Like a nose hair. It's like you don't do nothing but hang out in the nose. Yeah, but I keep stuff from going in there. Nose, I'm necessary too. So even the ones, and what's that part of the body they say they take out, it don't mean anything? What do you call it? Thank you. I'm just giving a science lesson today. Y'all on it. Anatomy lesson, all right? Your appendix burst, if we take it out, don't do anything. Are you kidding me? I don't believe that. Why would God put it in there if it don't do anything? But even if you've had your appendix taken out and they told you it didn't mean anything, I don't believe that, because right here it says even the ones that don't look like they're doing anything are doing something. Why? Because God has set them there. And this is what we're going to pick up next week. So let us bow our heads so we can go ahead and dismiss. Lord, how we thank you for this day. God, how we thank you that you told us to put on the new man, the new woman. Love and peace and forgiveness, everything that the world is looking for, you've given it to us. Now let us live it. And not only that, Lord, you showed us how important we all are because you set us right where we are. Thank you, God, for choosing us, for setting us where it pleases you. Not pleasing us, but it pleases you to work through us. We thank you, Lord, that there is none that's insignificant ever in the body of Christ. We all need each other. We're one body. So, Lord, we just thank you and we bless you. And I pray, I want to pray right now, Lord. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. So I'm really not in the body. I'm still outside the body. But once I know that I accept Christ, I become part of the body. If that's you and you want to accept Christ and become part of the body of Christ, elevate your hand. I love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to get back into the flow of the body. I need to rededicate my life. I know I'm in the body, but I've kind of been that hand that's been out doing my own thing. And that's the leg that's trying to walk away from the foot. Maybe that's you. Elevate your hand if you want to rededicate and just say, let me. God has set me up. I didn't realize God set me up to do what pleases him. I've been out trying to please myself. If that's you, elevate your hand. You want to rededicate your life. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm I just need a church home where people love God. No games, no tricks, no gimmicks. They love God. They love each other. They love the Word of God. I'd like to join with South Bay Abundant Life Church today. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We're not just members. We're family. Matter of fact, we are members of the same body. So we're members of family of the body. Lord, how we thank you, how we love you, how we bless you, how there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. Going to ask my brother Kanae to come up. Let's thank God for our brother who wants to join this morning. Right here, brother Kanae, right here. I'm going to ask the men to come up and surround my brother. How we do it as members of the body, brother. We can't do it without you, and we thank God that God put on your heart that you need us as just as much as we need you. Nobody's insignificant. Nobody's no big eyes and little U's. So we're all here as men for God and women for God, and we all have some part to play as we build his kingdom here. And nobody's insignificant. So we thank God for you this morning, and God putting a tug on your heart. Stretch your hands. If you're not up here, stretch your hands towards our brother Kanae. Lord, we thank you, first of all, how you loved us and how you died on the cross for our sins so we could be righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as Kanae joins this body, these members, this family, Lord, we pray that you would show him how you set him here and made him part of the body. And it's for to please you, not for us, not even for him. The part that he has to play is to bring glory to you. So we ask that you would show that to him, that he would be obedient to the call on his life. He would walk in it, Lord. He would embrace it. He'd live for you. He'd grow closer to you daily as a part of this ministry, as a part of this body of believers. We thank you for the tug on his heart to join us this morning. Thank you for all those that are here, Lord. As we're all members and we need each other and we can't do it without each other. Cover and keep us, Lord, as we go out and deal with another week of only what you know is going to happen. But we know you and we trust you and we love you. Cover us and keep us. Bless us, protect us, Lord. Thank you for this brother this morning here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Thank you, my brother. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Give someone a hug. God bless you, and you are dismissed.